Well, good day and God bless you and welcome back to the verse by verse Bible teaching ministry of the Washington Word. This is the ministry part. This is the word part of our business, Wash and Word. The wash part is that you can come by our business and get a hand car wash and we can clean out the inside of your car. We can do full details, mobile details. That's the wash. And the word is just that. We do verse by verse Bible teaching expositions. They play here on this radio station at 8:30 Monday through Friday. We also play them on a loop throughout the parking lot. If you come to the Washington Word or you even come into the parking lot, you can tune your radio to 107.1 FM and you can hear this and the other messages that were broadcast this week. Also, you can go to the washingtonword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can find out all the information about this ministry, our business, and you can also listen and download for free all of our archived verse-by-verse Bible teaching messages. Now, picking up where we left off, chapter 6 in the Gospel of John, we left off talking a little bit about how in verse 41, it says the Jews began to grumble about Jesus. Now remember, Jesus had just said that he's the bread of life, that he comes down to do the will of the Father, that none will ever hunger or thirst or be alone again, and that he shall never lose any who God sends to him. And all this talk about him being equated with God, well, the Jews were upset about that. And in our last message, we talked about how it's important for the body of Christ to get along and get together. We're never going to always agree with one another, and we're never always going to agree about the way the word might be getting preached or expounded upon. And as I said in our last message, unless the word is being just flat out blasphemed or the immovable doctrines of Christ are being changed, altered, or misrepresented, then we have to learn how to get along on what we call disputable matters. Paul even talks about that in Romans. He says, "Don't let disputable matters cause division." And the devil loves to create division in the body of Christ. And if he can't stop us from coming to the Lord, if he can't stop us from being saved, if he can't stop us from coming together as a family of believers, then he'll try to come in and create division. And I've seen so many people who attend churches for years, my own church that we had, they would come for years. And as soon as you got to a scripture that you expounded upon that they didn't agree with, it was out the door, they went. And we talked about how this is an immature Christian attitude. And as mature believers, we learn how to deal with one another in a responsible and an effective way. And that's where we left off in our last message. And we talked about how we kind of treat the word the same way, even not amongst other people. We read the Bible and we're like, "Oh yes, Lord, thank you for never leaving us. Thank you for never allowing us to hunger or thirst. And thank you for forgiving us. And thank you for eternal salvation. And thank you." Wait, what's this? Deny myself? Wait, forgive my enemies? Wait, submit to authority? You know, we get to these sections of scripture where all of a sudden we start to debate. Wait a minute, surely this isn't what you want. You know what I mean? And of course you know what I mean, because you're human and you've done it and I've done it and we all do it. And this is a good mark of a barometer to test your spiritual maturity. When you get to these parts of scripture that you don't, I'm not going to say agree with, but that you don't like to listen to, let's put it that way. How do you respond? How do you act? It's important that we do so in a mature way. You see, there was a great spiritual battle taking place here in the scripture. And there's a great spiritual battle taking place with us. And let me tell you, the devil doesn't care if we follow Jesus so long as we don't follow him too closely. And I could put the words "care" in that last statement in quotations, because the devil does care. He doesn't want anyone to follow Jesus. But if he loses us to Christ, then he has to go to the next best thing. And that is keeping us from following Jesus too closely. Because I'll tell you something, friends, conversion alone is not defeat in the devil's eyes. Just because we're converted, just because we accept Christ, he doesn't consider us defeated. He considers us even more as fair game. Because if he could take a Christian and make them stagnant, if as Christians we don't grow, and we don't step out of our comfort zone, if as Christians we do not threaten the kingdom of Satan, then we're just a carnal Christian. We are no threat to the enemy, and we are no good for the Father. In Exodus 8:25, it says, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God here in the land. You see the compromise there? Pharaoh said, okay, you can go and sacrifice, but you have to stay here. And how often does the devil do that to us? You know, we go to a certain point, but we don't go into the land, as it were. Exodus 10:11, Pharaoh again, he says, you may go, but the men must, only the men can go. Everyone else must stay behind. And Exodus 10:24, Pharaoh said, go worship the Lord, but leave your flocks and your herds behind. Do you see what the Pharaoh was doing with Moses? He was giving him some leeway, but he wouldn't let him go completely with all the people to do what it is that Moses was supposed to do that God commanded him. Moses would not compromise with the enemy. And God never compromises with Satan, and neither should we. Because listen, when you're dealing with temptation, when you're dealing with the enemy, compromise is always a victory for Satan. And for these people, and maybe for some of us, it was okay to follow Jesus. That is, until he said something or asked us to do something that is going to hurt the enemy's kingdom. In other words, it's okay to follow Jesus as long as you're doing it on your terms. But friends, that will never net you a full life. That will never net you power in your walk and in your testimony. When we move towards Jesus, Satan, like Pharaoh, says, fine, you can go, but only keep one of your sins close to your heart. And then as we grow in the Lord, we realize that God doesn't want that sin, even that little sin in our heart. And so we get rid of it and we begin to move closer to the Lord and higher up in our Christian walk. But then Satan will say, fine, you can move that sin out of your life, but hey, you don't need to read the Bible. The Bible is just written by men. And when we finally defeat that whisper, we'll hear, fine, read the Bible, but don't go to church because it's not all that important anyway. Besides, all they want is your money. And when we get rid of that thought, the devil puts another one in there. So we have to have a dividing line that says, I no longer am going to compromise with the devil. I am no longer going to keep holding on to this or to that. I am not going to cause a big debate over something that's really not that important. I've seen churches split over whether or not they believe they were mid-trib or post-trib or pre-trib. Doesn't really matter. I heard one man say, I'm pan-trib. It's all going to pan out in the end. Because again, if you're a full-hearted believer of Christ, it's all going to pan out in the end. Why give the devil this foothold when we don't need to? So I hope that touches somebody's heart today. Moving on in verse 43, we're going to read till 51. Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one who has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Man, is Jesus not laying it out right here? I'll tell you, these I am statements, we're going to look at them later on in the, as we go through this gospel, because he lays out seven I am statements. But this section that we just read is a reiteration of what he was saying to them already. But let me point out a few key praises. One, in verse 44, he says, I will raise him up in the last day. In verse 47, it says, he who believes has everlasting life. Verse 50 says that they will not die. And verse 51, he will live forever. Let me ask you a question. Why would anyone have any problem with this? I will raise him up in the last day. If he believes in me, he'll have everlasting life. He will not die. He will live forever. His words were the solution to what people sought then and what they need and seek now. They gave a person eternal security, a hope, and a future. And these words have been doing that ever since Jesus spoke them. And yet the Bible says, we started off in verse 43, yet they grumbled amongst themselves. You know, with all that God offers and all that he has done for us, we must be careful not to grumble against him. And confession time. You know, my wife and I, we're bad about this. And it's something we're trying to work on. But when things aren't going right or business is slow and we're wondering where the people are and how we're going to survive, how we're going to eat this week or, you know, whatever it is. And that's just one example. But there are many examples in our lives where we tend to kind of grumble against God. Not in a bad way. We're not blasphemous or anything, but just having that lack of faith, kind of grumbling against it. And man, when God finally gets us out of that or he comes through, that feeling that you have, you've been there, it's horrible. It's like, why did I even bother doubting? Why did I bother grumbling? And listen, I'm telling you something. God doesn't take that lightly. He does not want you to grumble because it shows a heart that is not appreciative of the things God has done. In Israel, the Israelites did that. And here's the result in Numbers 14:30. Not one of you will enter the land that I swore with uplifted hand to make you your home, except Caleb and Joshua. Do you remember? They're the only two that went in because everybody else grumbled. And God allowed them to grumble for a little while. God will give us a little bit of leeway. He knows we're human. But he will not allow it to go on. He will only allow it so long. And then, like a parent would do, like you probably did or your parents did to you when you started to cry or fuss about something, they would say what? Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. And God will eventually, if we don't stop, he'll say, stop grumbling before I give you something to grumble about. And again, it isn't because God's angry or he's mean. It's because that is how we grow. That is how we learn to trust him through the next trial. And these people here with Jesus, they were on a collision course with what the Bible calls a hard heart and a stiff neck. And when that happens, when we get to that point where we become so hard in heart and so stiff in neck, we get there, it becomes harder and harder to hear that still small voice calling out to you. God says, look, I'll explain what I'm trying to do. I'll be patient with you. But if you don't adhere, if you don't change, if you don't accept, then your heart is going to become hard. And let me tell you, a hard heart is hard to reach. And you may be saved, and you may have eternal security, and you may be going to heaven. But if you're walking around with a hard heart, hearing the still small voice of the Spirit, which, by the way, is the voice that leads and guides you through and into the will of God, you are not going to be able to hear that. And if you can't hear the voice of the will of God, guess what? You will not be in the will of God. So stop your grumbling. Thank God for the things that you have and move forward, Christian, because this is God's will for you. God bless you. Have a great day. And once again, we hope you join us at the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash or at the website, washandword.com. We look forward to joining you in this time again tomorrow. Have a blessed day. In Jesus' name.